I think you bumped it.
Okay, sorry. So, to prove this theorem, first of all... So first of all, this was a very old conjecture. I mean, many people were working on it for a long time. And the most important ingredient in the proof of this theorem was a theorem by Berger in 1955, actually. So many years before Mach. Berger, sorry. Which proved that it's enough to show that there exists a subset S inside the projectization of the tangent bundle, which is invariant under which is proper, and invariant under holonomy. It's not equal to the whole set, and it's not equal to the empty set. Actually, if it's equal to the whole set, it's... Well, I mean, if it's equal to the whole set, of course it would be invariant under holonomy, so it wouldn't be an interesting set.
No, but I'm saying, so nothing to do with algebraic
integers. No, nothing to... No, it's not a scheme, it's just a set, whichever set you choose. So this is what Mach really proved, actually. So what Mach proved is that, okay, we start with any metric that satisfies the property. We flow it and we create a metric that has the property that is everywhere each positive. So after flowing G of t, after deforming G of 0 to the with the Ricicle flow, we can first assume that the reach of G of t, whatever time we consider, it's always positive. So it's a final manifold. And by using the argument of Mori, every final has a lot of rational curves. So using characteristic P arguments, we know that there are a lot of maps, holomorphic map, from P1 to M. In other words, we can cover the whole manifold M through this holomorphic map. And there are some of them that are very special, because this map not only exists, not only they are non-trivial, of course, but they can deform a lot, actually, using the fact that they're fine. It's fine, no? Yes. He didn't use the fact that it's rationally connected, because at the time he didn't know that but yes, it's rationally connected. But he didn't use the fact that it's rationally connected, because at the time it was not known yet. So he just used that they deform a lot, and at the time I believe he knew that. So there are two possibilities. He defines S to be the directions of all the images of this map that have minimal degree, with minimal degree. I'm not going to define what minimal degree means, but... That's right. So, yeah, in algebraic geometry it's clear what minimal degree is, but basically what it means is that it deforms a lot, but still with some control on it. Exactly, yes. So the fact that it's minimal degree implies that there are two possibilities. If it's easy to show by using Mori that if S is equal to the whole space, sorry, M, then M is equal to projective space. So if this is the case, then we are done, because that's one case that is predicted by this conjecture. So we can assume that S is proper. Yeah. Oh, no, it doesn't need to be connected, but you can take the... it's a Lie group, so you can take the connected component of 0. So what implies is that, okay, so we're not done yet, but using the fact that, so, because this is just a sketch of the proof, using the fact that we also know, now it's not enough to know that the Ricci curvature is positive, but we also know that the sectional curvature is positive. Implies that S is invariant. Then at the very end, but this was already known, it means that, so what we proved is that M with this metric G of T that is obtained by deforming G of zero, it's has this property. And then it was already known that if this is true for any T, then it's true also for G zero. So from this you get the statement. This is the end of the proof. This is the end of the idea of the proof, basically. So it's quite a nice, from my point of view, it's quite a nice result because you use both algebraic methods and analytic methods. So now the question is, okay, but here we still have very strong assumptions. That's why we get very particular manifolds. Now the question is, can we get more than this? What can we say in general about the case k is equal to 1? Are we anyhow close to this statement? So many years after, Chen and Tian, actually he appeared only in 2006, although I believe they wrote it much before that, proved that if the bisectional curvature is positive, then the metric G of T converges at any time T, with this one we already knew from Tsao, sorry, but the G infinity is a smooth Kirnesian metric. And not only that, it's the Fubini Stöde metric. In PN. Okay, first of all, I should say that we already knew that since we are assuming that bisectional curvature is strictly positive, we already knew that the manifold is isomorphic to PN. What they really show is that, although they didn't assume this fact, that they give a new proof, but what they really show is that the Ricci Keller flow for t equal to infinity converges to the nice Keller Einstein metric in PN. This is the only Keller Einstein metric in PN. It's very easy to write down explicitly what the equation of this metric is. So I'm not going to exactly give a definition of this, but it's the only Keller Einstein metric that exists in PN. So the reason why this theorem is important is because this was the first time that in the case Fano, namely in the case k is equal to 1, the metric is shown to converge to the Kirnesian metric. So far the Ricci Keller flow was only used for a small deformation of G0. So of course the question is now, exactly like you asked me, what happens in general? So one conjecture that one can ask is that assume that C1m is positive. So C1m is equal to 1 times G of 0. Namely, m is a Fano variety. And assume that exists a Kirnesian metric. The conjecture is much stronger than this, but let me write it like this. So is it true that G infinity is... given any metric G0, is it true that G infinity is one Keller Einstein metric? Is G infinity a Keller Einstein metric? So by assuming the existence of one Keller Einstein metric, is it true that the Ricci Keller flow converges to one of these Keller Einstein metrics? So and the answer is probably yes, because Perelman announced that he knows this result. Although he didn't write it down. So you only manage, you only say something about the proof of this result to during a talk, and what they manage to reconstruct from what he said is a theorem. So probably this is due to Perelman, although it was not written by Perelman, probably last year, I don't know, which says that in this context, so if C1m is equal to G0, then there exists a constant C equal to, depending only on the initial metric G0, such that the scalar metric, the scalar curvature of GT is bounded by this constant, and also the diameter of GT is bounded by this constant. And this by itself is a very strong result, because it was the first time that a real bound on the curvature, on some curvature of the flow of the metric that is being flown, is given that it's only depending on the initial metric G0. So this somehow is the best confirmation that this should be true. And again, Perelman itself claims that this is true. So most likely there is a proof of this. So it looks like if there is a Kleinstein metric, then the Ricci-Kleff flow will always converge to that metric.
But I mean, there are known finite surfaces without KD metrics, right?
That's right. So this theorem does not apply. So we'll converge.
What would happen to?
So I think that no one really knows the answer. The most common opinion is that it converges to a soliton, but probably not everywhere. Probably on a up to a codimension two sobriety. So it's possible that it converges some, it creates some singularities along some sobriety of codimension, of complex codimension two or higher. So, but I believe in this theorem, they write that they announce some result in this direction, but it never appeared anywhere, as far as I know, so I'm not sure exactly what is the status. So yes, actually, even P2 blown up in one or two points would not satisfy this property. Okay, so probably, let me just say a few words of what we expect to be true if M is not compact. So again, we are in the applications, in the section of applications, and we talk about, we always talk about a compact manifold with definite chain class. The second interesting case is what happens if M is non-compact. So the conjecture, very little is known in this case, even existence is a problem. But the conjecture by Yao, which is somehow the non-compact version of Frankl conjecture, the theorem by Morris, Yu, and Yao, says that if M is complete, non-compact, and with positive bisectional curvature, exactly like in the context of Morris theorem, then exactly what one expects. For the compact case, we had projective space, and for the non-compact case, one expects to have Cn. And this is, by itself, a very strong statement, because it will imply, for instance, that the fundamental group of M is equal to something trivial, which is obvious in the case, in the compact case by Myers' theorem, but in the non-compact case, this is far away from being obvious. So even this by itself, it's still an open conjecture. So there are many results in this direction, with or without using the Ricci-Kleff flow. I'm going to just finish with one result that used the Ricci-Kleff flow that is probably the most important one at the moment, which confirms partially this conjecture, which is due to Chen, a different Chen than the one before, and Zhu. 2003. So it's of course assuming the same, exactly same assumption than here, plus bounded bisectional curvature, and plus it's assuming that if you look at the average on any ball of the scalar curvature, so any ball of any radius of the scalar curvature, this is less or equal than some function of some r divided by 1 plus r square, where epsilon r goes to 0, doesn't matter how, for r going to plus infinity. So if we have these properties plus this restriction about the scalar curvature, then by using the Kelly-Ricci flow, they can prove that the universal cover of M is Cn. Which is, of course, a stronger assumption and weaker result, because weaker thesis, because we expect that the fundamental group is trivial. But nevertheless, I believe that this is the, at least this is one to write down for me here. I probably can stop here. Thanks.
What about a case where there is no K? What about a case where we've got a blown...
Oh, I see. No K error metric. Okay. So actually, a few things are known. So if I use language of algebraic geometry, so if, first of all, about short-term existence is known. For long-time existence, if kx is an f, then there is long-time existence. So an f means limit of apple. So it's almost like saying kx is non-negative class. So this is a theorem by myself, Lanave, independently by Tian and Zhang. So long-term existence is defined. So now the question is, what is G-infinity? So G-infinity, of course, cannot be a Kähler Einstein metric, because if C1x is not positive, then if C1x is not negative, there's no way that we can find a Kähler Einstein metric. But nevertheless, if we have some control on the canonical model, namely if the canonical model is an orbifold, has orbifold singularity, then this metric converge to this metric converge to a pseudo metric, a metric that is singular somewhere, but induce a metric on the canonical model. So in the case of surfaces, this is always true. So it's like saying that it's a way to reproduce the canonical model by using Kierkegaard flow. If there are some curves for which this is negative, it's possible to show that this metric, this curves, the metric will create singular axis out on those curves for which kx is negative. And so if kx times c is negative somewhere, then there exists a finite time t that is easy to compute actually directly, such that g of t is singular along c. And again, with some condition on the model below, so if we can contract c in such a way that it's a divisorial contraction and the singularity of the model below is they're not too bad, then induce exactly like before, induce a smooth metric on the model before. And for instance, in the case of surfaces, again, this is always satisfied. So it's in the case of surfaces, like after a finite number of steps, there's always, you can reproduce the canonical model by using this flow.
And flips?
I don't know. I mean, I don't even know how to start it, actually, because we have some ideas. Flips...
flips would be exactly the analog of what Kramer had to do, right?
Well, that's one way to do it, but it's difficult, because it's difficult to glue stuff in Kähler geometry. So that's one way, but that's a much more difficult project. If you assume the existence of flips, then one way we can solve this problem is go to a common resolution, W. So if you pull back the metric to W, we create some singularities. But if you create some kind of logarithmic Kähler flow, it's possible to show that the singularities disappeared, appear after a finite number time again, because you create a metric on X plus. But this is like cheating, because we're assuming existence of flips, which we don't know, but still. It would be nice to somehow understand the flow, the X plus, without going to W, using the flows.